Hello, hey, hey, bonjour. I'm Gwen Lafarge, and this is the Tech Marketing Pod Chat, casual discussion with some of the best, most passionate tech marketers out there. They share the stories, the insights, the day-to-day. So get ready to listen, learn, and get inspired. My guest today is from Copenhagen, Denmark. Stefan Edenbrandt is co-founder and chief revenue officer of Dream Data. Dream Data is a leading B2B revenue attribution platform. And guess what? We talked about attribution. Is attribution needed for B2B tech companies? And why doesn't it kill creativity, innovation, and ultimately brand building? Doesn't it create kind of a sales versus marketing mindset instead of billing together? Why do tech companies actually need it? And what are the best attribution models out there? Listen to this episode and see for yourself. Hello, and welcome, Stefan, to the Tech Marketing Pod Chat.
Thanks a lot, Gwen. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too. I think, well, we're obviously going to talk about attribution. I think this is like something that you're an expert in. I'm excited about this. This is a little bit, maybe a little bit outside of my comfort zone in many ways, because I talked a lot about brand and I've had discussion with a lot of brand marketers. But I think marketing attribution, or like attribution in general, and seeing where deals come from has been such a hot topic that I think is very interesting to talk about that. I have pretty strong opinion, and in general I think that there are a lot of issues with that and with tracking marketing in general. And I feel like companies and marketers spend so much time that it takes away a bit from concentrating on getting those deals instead of tracking where they come from. And also somehow by doing too much tracking and measuring, it's taking away from the freedom to innovate and from creativity. So I'll love to hear your thought about that and some of the, what do you think about that?
It's definitely, you can from time to time see also like a LinkedIn thread going crazy around attribution, and I think it's like the reason for it is that there's some that just believe it's completely the holy grail of marketing, and then there's others like you who like are used to running big brands that understands that one click on a Facebook ad doesn't make a brand or make a very large contract close. So it's there's a lot of opinions about it. I think one of the reasons why I think the topic of attribution is interesting is that as marketers, we're trying to, you know, convince people to make a certain decision. We're trying to put, or ideally, we want a formula that we can kind of repeat. We do ABC, and then we get them to buy more. Then we've sort of reached the nirvana of marketing. Obviously, it's rarely the case that you have any clue or you know all the moving things in a buying decision. The fact is, you don't. But what I like about it, the attribution discipline is trying to figure out what is it that I can possibly repeat to grow to like. This is where we can have a good discussion. Is that I come from a very much an opinion about marketing is that you do marketing to make your company make more money, First of all, you should have an explanation why, or a narrative why what you do is helping impact the company's revenue. And secondly, at best, you can also have the proof in terms of data that can that you're impacting your company's revenue. But I think it also very much depends on, you know, the company type and the company size that you come from. And you can say, you've worked with a lot of really, really big brands, and you do that now at Sinch, where I've been working more with the like kind of startup SMB space, where we can say maybe the wallet is a little bit more thin. So the time of your activities needing to impact revenue is probably shorter because the clock is ticking and you're running out of money. So, and I think this is a very interesting discipline and something I'm happy to admit that this navigating the scope between when do you need to do brand marketing and when do you just need to do performance marketing is I'm heavily tilting towards performance marketing often, and I don't know if that's right or wrong. You also kind of become a slave of the things you're good at, and I'm pretty good at like the demand gen performance marketing kind of style.
But and that's also probably because that's the thing you can track. In easier way than you can with brand, right? Like the results are more maybe visible and more immediate on performance side. Then when you do more brand activity, then it takes more time. It's not as direct response, right? From those initiatives, you don't see those results directly in the data immediately. So it's a little bit, it's kind of normal that we go towards what we can track and what we can understand and what we can prove. Yeah. And especially when companies need to prove the value of marketing. If you get companies that don't, or CEOs or CFO that don't fully believe in the value of marketing and think it can just be replaced by a few SDRs, you probably need to have a lot of like proof and like put a pretty deep or detailed attribution model in place so that you can prove the value of marketing, right? So do you think that's what it's for, to really prove the value, or is it also for marketers to decide where they put their money?
That's a good observation, Gwen. There's also kind of a defensive discipline in it, being like when the CFO and you have your like kind of discussions about how much of a budget do you want to get this year, then you want to have something where you can say to him, hey, CFO, this is what you get when you put money into marketing. You know, the truth is that it's not like a direct correlation, or like you cannot say because I did A, then you got B always. But the reason why I am really passionate about attribution is that I want to understand where I can acquire new customers, like where can I put money in and then expect new customers to arrive? But I think it's also like different marketing disciplines should be judged in with different measures, and the purpose of them are different. If I can just take us off sidetrack here. So for example, where I'm a co-founder of now is called Dream Data. And what we do for companies is that we pull every piece of digital touch that they have available into a database and sort them by the account that they belong to. So you get a timeline of all the touches that this account has. We are never ever saying to our customers that we're going to give you 100% of what happened, because nobody's ever going to get to that. But like investing in attribution in terms of like data and maybe a tool is about going from knowing 10 or 20% of the dynamics to knowing 50, 60, maybe 70% of what's going on. Because at the end of the day, you're just looking for support of your gut feeling. That would probably be how I would express what you should use an attribution tool for. It's the statistical expression of this is some of what's going on, and some signs will be strong that this is a good idea and some signs will be weaker. But you can do it to investigate kind of your intuition and your ideas about what's going on. And the last point being that any attribution model applied to what only represents 5 or 10% of the data is always going to be wrong. Right. Because whether it's first touch or last touch, 5% only represents a small amount of what's going on. And I think this is where kind of when you misuse attribution, you forget that the data set is so slim, or you've not. One of the biggest changes we're bringing to the table is that you go from like single touch attribution to multi-touch and multi-stakeholder attribution.
Right.
And that's in B2B, you're selling to teams. You're not selling to me or Gwen buying a pair of running shoes, where it's kind of, you click the ad, you sign up to the newsletter. The next time you send a newsletter, you're selling something. That's a fairly simple journey. But in B2B, it's multiple stakeholders, 3, 4, 5 people. It's, you know, a journey over 6 to 9 to 12 months or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like multiple touch points, right? From like maybe seeing an ad, listening to a podcast, yeah, reading a newsletter, going to like an event, and then maybe the sales team are the one that spend a lot of efforts at the end to kind of close it. Who owns, yeah, the deal, right? But I feel like I definitely find it very interesting, but I think it's the tricky part is how do you attribute like where the deals come from, right? Like, I guess at which point like is the deal made? And I guess it's like the combination of all those efforts that bring the deal in. So you can't really say it's the marketing or it's the sales, or it's like it's all of it, right?
It's much more a discipline of getting any touch you have available from the customer journey into one place. So it's not scattered in different kind of silos, but getting as much of the customer journey into like a digital picture.
Right.
Then an attribution model afterwards is just an opinion about what's important. But the critical thing is trying to understand all the touches along the journey.
Right. And yeah, because I was thinking that that often when you work on this attribution model, you kind of almost create like a separation between marketing and sales. And then there's those discussions on like, no, this is a sales deal. No, this is a marketing deal.
Yeah.
Where in a way, having maybe a more...
It sounds so wrong when you say it out.
Right? Yeah, I know. But when you look at it more maybe in depth or like have a more complex model, you realize that it is a marketing plus sales deal. And that's like
maybe customer success as well.
Exactly.
That's why actually we are trying to one of the things we are trying brand wise is to talk about revenue attribution as opposed to marketing attribution.
Yeah.
Because like you don't do like 6-digit annual contracts from a click on a Facebook ad. That's just not going to happen. So we talk about revenue attributions as kind of the discipline of any place you have a digital touch, whether it's in marketing or whether it's in sales or customer success or even inside the product, you want to have all the touches to make a decision upon that.
Yeah.
Because you want to start the journeys that go the furthest down the funnel. And you want to understand, like, as a company, you can only invest your budget once. So you want to invest it where you get the most impact for the money.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. And do you feel that the company that have been working with, with you or with your company, but also maybe before with like attribution in general, that they make smarter choices on where they put their money, or like what are like some of the trends or best practices? Is there like something that you see over and over again, like usually before really working on attribution, people spend way too much on PPC? I don't know, I'm just making it up.
Yes.
But like, are there trends like that?
So first of all, what we're obsessed about is the accounts that go the furthest down the journey, like to closed one ultimately.
Yeah.
And first you want to look at the accounts that you actually won. What journey did they go through? Sometimes you don't have enough velocity to do like real statistics, but it's important to look through what were the touches along these journeys where you actually won the account. And then you might take a step back. You want to go as far down the funnel as there's statistical valid proof. Does that make sense?
Yep.
So, and like, if you only have enough velocity at let's call it marketing qualified lead stage, that's what you have to act out of. But ideally you want to be, and that this is kind of where I think like revenue attribution is a discipline where you want to optimize the full budget of the company, because you want to give salespeople more leads from that reach sales qualified lead stage instead of the ones that just reach a marketing qualified lead stage. Yep. And I think this is one of the this is where kind of an attribution tool can offer kind of a sanity check to your ad spend, which I think is one of the fastest improvement you get with a tool like ours or others, is that you actually can follow the deals as they progress down through your sales pipeline. And you want to be buying more of those ads that actually go to sales qualified lead, not just a marketing qualified lead. And we see that, we've seen a lot of examples where kind of the agency of our customer says, yes, we did a fantastic Facebook campaign because we got like a 1,000 emails signing up to this lead form or something like that. And then we switch from like lead stage to sales qualified lead. Then none of those actually made it across.
No.
And then it's just a waste of time. Another, I think, extremely relevant metric that will help you with is understanding how long does your journeys actually take.
Mm-hmm.
We call it time to revenue, but you can call it whatever. What companies know quite well right now is like from deal creation to deal closed.
Yeah.
But yes, there's a long stage before that, which is all the research that the account is doing.
Yeah.
And we typically see that phase is 2 or 3x of the known deals created to deals one stage.
That's amazing. I love this because I think there's like I can see an expectation on marketing. Like it's a given that the sales cycle, right? Like at the moment they start looking to
the
like
sales cycle is from deal creation. No, it's not.
Like, yeah, it's 6 to 12 months, but still they expect marketing to deliver leads in 3. And I'm like, well, this doesn't match up, right? If a salesperson takes 12 months to close a deal, can you really think about the time it takes for someone to research the company before they even get in touch with like a salesperson?
Yeah, and so this matters.
It's never really tracked properly, I feel
like. It matters a lot just in terms of budget. If you need to reach this amount of sales next year and you know the true cycle is actually 8 months, then you cannot start in September trying to impact the year's budget. You need to start a lot earlier. But it's also important to notice when you're like, you know, in marketing, we're constantly running experiments. And you cannot judge an experiment that well in the month you make it if you know that the journey is going to be 8 months or 12 months.
Right.
So you end up making the wrong decisions if you don't understand those dynamics of how long is the research phase normally before it becomes marketing qualified and sales qualified and the deals close.
Do you feel that like by doing this like better tracking in a way, it pushes to doing more bottom of the funnel type of activities rather than like top of the funnel, maybe awareness activities? It puts your efforts maybe closer to like the sales cycle because it's the nature of attribution, right?
I think this is kind of where when you become a more experienced marketer, you know kind of that. Obviously the way I approach it myself right now is that we need to find every place on the internet where there's high intent for a tool like ours.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's in a LinkedIn thread. Sometimes it's on a podcast like this. Sometimes it's in Google search that is easy to measure. But the most important thing is capturing intent.
Yeah.
You don't have to measure anything if it just intuitively makes sense for you.
Yeah. I mean, I'm totally agree.
And I think you're right, Gwen. In like overall, I think it's so easy to steer towards these like low funnel stuff because the measurement gets easier. But I can give you like a stupid example of something I did myself. In my old company, we were running a lot of Facebook ads across like all in the US and Europe, and because I was so eager trying to optimize every dollar spent, I switched off all advertising on mobile phones because people were converting on desktops. Right? That's pretty logical.
Yeah.
But like don't know the numbers, but the consumption of Facebook and the seeding on Facebook today takes place on mobile as people scroll through, they click in, click out. And then the day later they come and buy. And what happened was that kind of I didn't feel the impact initially, but then a few months later, we didn't have enough leads in the pipeline anymore.
Yeah.
And that's when you cut off those, you need to keep stuffing thing in top funnel as well that will trickle down later on.
Well, because I think like marketing, of course, plays a big role in pushing people down the funnel and making that kind of last marketing mile before it goes to sell. Mm-hmm. But it also plays a big role before, right? I mean, we talked about intent. And of course, I think like measuring marketing qualified lead is like a waste of time, because of course you kind of capture a lot of email that of people that have no intent to really buy your product. But at the same time, marketing should also be there to create that demand and create in a way that intent, so that when I'm ready or where I have the need, then I will think about such and such company. If I've never heard about them before, I will not think about them. Right. So it's like you need to kind of create that awareness in that top of mind and have this part before the intent is there. Right. And that's
very true.
Measure.
Yeah. Because when the intended is there, they're going to go for the brand that they know.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like I see brands all the time, right? And I have some top of mind. I might not need, like, let's say I don't need like a attribution model tool right now.
Yeah.
Right. But then the day I need it, if I've seen you and your company before, even if I don't need it right now, then I will think of you first, right? So it's building.
Or like point to it if you see somebody else asking for something that can do something like attribution.
But do you take that into account into your attribution model? Or like how far out of like the deal do you go, right?
Because we don't have an opinion as out of the box, we don't have an opinion about how far back you go. So what you get from us is there's two components. One is that we connect to all your tools like CRM, automation, CS, etc., and pull all over that data. But we also give a script that goes to the website that assigns anonymous IDs to every visitor. And if Gwen visits, as you being anonymous, visit our website 5 times, we'll keep an anonymous logbook of every visit.
Mm-hmm.
And at the point of time where you identify yourself through like downloading an ebook or booking a demo, we can actually see when was Gwen on our website the first time. And that might be 6 months back or like even more.
Okay. So you keep an anonymous track, but then when the person sign in, they become non-anonymous from before that anonymous tracking becomes.
Yes, exactly. And that's also why we can say something about how long is the research phase actually.
Yep.
Then you can have an opinion about stuff that happened more than 6 or 12 months before the deal created. You don't want to attribute any like value to it. But the most important, that's why like I said, that kind of it's so important to capture all the data.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can apply the opinion afterwards, whether it's important or not. And as you, as a marketer, it might be that you have like initiated kind of a big play towards certain keywords where you've produced ebooks, you've done podcasts, etc. And you can actually, this is actually what I saw in my old company. I went from, we were heavily driven by ads. We were selling screen sharing devices to schools and businesses. But we were also seeing that we couldn't win the like Fortune 5000 companies because there was no trust in our brand. Mm-hmm. So I started establishing a brand and content team where we had 2 writers, a videographer, a designer, and a manager for that team. Yeah. And all I had to show for their performance was that Google organic traffic was going up.
Yeah.
And you cannot pay any salary with the Google organic traffic going up. But what we could actually see with when I met my 2 co-founders at DreamData was that all of these pieces of content were quite good at starting the journeys. And then it took 6 or 12 months before the journey was closed one. But without knowing how those 2 dots connected, you just say a content is nice, but it's, you know, it kind of keep a headcount of 5 people producing ebooks or something like that. But what we can say is that the very first touch of this account was, let's say, this ebook or whatever. And then you wanted $100,000 12 months later. Then you can have an opinion about whether it's valuable that the first touch was an ebook, but you want to be able to see that the first touch was this channel or source.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was a lot of talk.
Yeah, I know that. Then makes sense. And that's like, it's somehow about proving the value of a lot of those different touch points, even if they not directly link to generating a direct lead straight away, right? It's like, it's the lag.
As and well I think between brand most, of, and- most important of all is do you apply a common sense and use your intuition? Like, we did this and now we feel like this is happening. Mm-hmm. In many cases, that might actually be true.
Yep.
Without you having the data to prove it. Then, like, afterwards, you can start to inspect, okay, is there, how strong is the correlation and causality between the things? But a lot of times, kind of, I know when we did this thing, a month later, we have a lot more deals or like a lot more leads. And then you don't, that's your attribution tool. That's your own brain and your own intuition.
Yeah. I like what you said before. And I think that's like what I will, one of the learning I think from this call is that somehow this attribution model or putting attribution in place is to validate some of your gut feeling, and and I think that's the key, right?
Exactly. Like all the initiatives you do, you want to see if some of them, like, you know, blinks a little bit more than the others when you look at revenue, and that would be like a good second opinion about what you should do next year. Then,
yeah, no, exactly. Perfect. Well, fantastic. Thank you so much for these insights. And I hope it get more people to think about attribution model in the right way and how it can help. Because I think it's more about aligning team than separating them, right? And it's more 100%. Seeking throughout the entire length of the funnel rather than focusing on one piece. So I think that's the key learning.
Yeah, now maybe we can switch it around and you can learn me about brand the next time.
Yeah, let's do that next time. Thank you so much, Stefan, and let's keep in touch. Thanks.
It was a pleasure, Grant. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Tech Marketing Spot Chat. I hope you had a good time. I know I did. If you learned a thing or two, feel free to share this episode and also let me know. I'm on LinkedIn. Please connect, share your thoughts, and I'll see you there. Bye-bye for now.